Here's this week's chapter. King of the Dollhouse, Chapter 5. For the next few days, Ellie could hardly bear to leave her room. With the queen in residence, there was always something going on in the dollhouse, and Ellie spent hours sitting on the fuzzy rug watching. Using a very small rose thorn and links of spiderweb, the queen sewed new suits for the peanut butter babies, finishing them so quickly it seemed like magic. "What beautiful colors," said Ellie in admiration. "Where did you find that material?" The queen held up a little suit in each hand. "These yellow and red ones are made of rose petals," she explained, "and this pink one from a hollyhock blossom. This white one I made from dandelion fluff. It's harder to work with, but delightfully soft."
"You are very gifted, Your Royal Highness."
"Thank you, Ellie, but it is simply a matter of one's inclinations, I think. Everyone does some things well, but no one can do everything well. It all works out rather neatly, I find."
The king sang a lot as he went about his housework, keeping the dollhouse even more immaculate than usual. The queen showed Ellie how to fashion a feather duster out of a few small underfeathers from a molting sparrow, fastened onto a bit of toothpick and wound around and around with thread. With this, King Bora Bora energetically flicked away at the dollhouse furniture until everything sparkled and shone. The peanut butter babies played on the floor at their mother's feet as she sewed, getting themselves wound up in the spider web and listening happily as she told them stories of her adventures. When all the little suits were finished and put on the babies, Ellie filled the dollhouse sink with warm soapy water, and King Bora Bora washed out all the old suits, hanging them on a piece of thread strung over the bathtub in case of drips. Everyone was so busy and happy that when Ellie heard her mother coming along the hall toward the bedroom, there was barely enough time to warn the royal family. The king became rather flustered and started to hide the little wet suits in the hall closet, instead of the babies that were usually in them. But the queen picked up as many babies as she could carry, shooing the rest ahead of her into their hiding place.
"Leave the laundry, Bora Bora," she told the king, "and come along. Hurry now, my love, don't panic."
Dropping the armful of tiny wet suits into the bathtub, the king ran after her, and to Ellie's great relief, the closet door just closed as her mother came into the room. She looked very happy.
"I finished the book," she said. "The book about Mrs. Pinkletoe. I've really finished it."
"Oh, good," said Ellie. "That's the fastest book you've ever written, I think."
"I think so, too. It must be because you've done so much to help me."
She sat on the edge of the bed and smiled at Ellie.
"What have you been doing with yourself all these days?"
"Playing with my dollhouse." Ellie's mother leaned forward a little so she could look inside the little rooms.
"I had forgotten how nice it is," she said.
Then a puzzled expression came over her face.
"But where are all the dolls, Ellie? Where's the dollhouse family? Don't you play with them?"
"Not anymore," said Ellie truthfully. "They never seem to bend right. They don't look real."
"No, dolls never do, do they?"
Ellie's mother said. And Ellie was surprised, as she sometimes was, to find that grown-ups could think properly.
"I used to have a dollhouse when I was your age, and I always wished my dolls would turn into real little people who could move about by themselves and talk to me."
Ellie's eyes opened wide.
"You did?" "Of course, but it never happened. It's too bad there aren't any little people small enough to live in a dollhouse, isn't it?"
Ellie took a deep breath. Should she tell her mother right then about King Bora Bora and Queen Griselda and the peanut butter babies? Would her mother understand and think it was all right for them to go on living there, eating all the peanut butter and never having to hide in the hall closet? Before Ellie could make up her mind, her mother stood up.
"Sometimes I've thought about writing a story about a dollhouse that had real little people living in it," she said. "But I don't suppose children would believe anything as impossible as that."
She lifted her arms up high and stretched very hard.
"Oh, it's good to have finished Mrs. Pinkletoe. I think I'll go downstairs and bake something heavenly for dessert."
She touched Ellie's hair lightly and went out of the room. Ellie sat gazing at the dollhouse. "I'd believe a story about little people living in a dollhouse," she whispered to herself. "I'd believe it." It was not long after that that Ellie woke up one morning to find the queen had gone.
"Oh, dear," she said, "I did hope she was going to stay for a while."
"One can't expect to hold anyone as adventurous and restless as Her Royal Highness," the king said. "The queen is a free spirit."
"Do you know where she has gone?"
"She mentioned something about a canoe trip and shooting rapids, I believe."
"Shooting rapids," repeated Ellie. "That sounds very dangerous."
"I expect it is. It seems there is a spot where the water falls at least 10 inches over a steep cliff, what I imagine you might call a stone. However, we must never lose faith in the Queen's ability to take care of herself. She is quite an unusual person."
"Oh, yes, she is," Ellie agreed. "Unusual in every way."
Check back next week for the following chapter of this book.